right, hello again, and welcome to Comics Rule Everything Around Me, podcast within a podcast, which is apparently a phrase I stole without realizing it, about comics and all a part of Keep It Close to Me, which is a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm mentioning all of that today because unless I am completely misunderstanding how counting works and trying and adding all the things up, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, it happens. But if I'm not mistaken, this episode, when it goes up, will represent the 100th episode of content on the Keep It Close to Me feed.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. That other voice you hear is, of course, the man who is with me always.
Hello, listeners.
The man who is with me always when we talk about comic stuff. That is Matt Drain.
Hello.
And we are here today to talk about some exciting stuff, some comics we were excited about, which is a nice change of pace. We've also got two exciting news things that we briefly discussed over lunch, but that we were also like, oh, let's just go ahead and be sure to save that. But before we get into all of that, I've never done this at the start of the show before, but because it is the 100th episode, I just wanted to take a minute to thank everybody that has been that is or has been a patron of this show on Patreon, one of the Patreon supporters. It's simply amazing to me that this is, I'm still able to do this and that people care at all and listen, much less that people are willing to donate to keep things going and to just help make it a little easier to do this stuff. That having been said, I do have a real job as well that has been running me absolutely ragged lately. Because I've been having to work, there was like 2 weeks where I was there almost every day. I was there, I think, every day for like two straight weeks.
You're short-staffed and covering shifts.
Yeah. And you know, when you're one of the people in charge, that's what happens. And it's fine. I'm okay with it, but it's definitely been, there have been a lot of days where I'm just like, I get home and I'm just like, I cannot do anything, but.
Sure.
I'm ready.
Not a full-time podcaster, content creator.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as much as fun as that sounds, it's just not the way things are at the moment. Maybe someday, but none of that is you guys' problem. I just want to thank you all so much. I would just want to go through the list. And also, for fun, Matt, I'm going to rope you into this.
Okay.
And let's just go down this list of all the patrons and just take turns reading their names.
This is why you wanted me so close.
This was not, I did not think of this, but also I wish we had some dramatic music to be playing behind, and then we could, it would be easier for us to read them in a dramatic fashion, and give them the full gravitas that they deserve. But, all right, first up, and oh, sweet goodness. Of course, if we mess up anybody's names, we're going to do our best. And I apologize. I know there's going to be some people whose names I've had issues with in the past. And even though we were trying to have an absolutely perfect no mess em ups episode to get this out as quick as possible, so I don't have to edit a bunch of stuff out, we're just going to go with it and we'll do our best. And hey, if I get your name wrong, please, or if Matt does.
Seems very likely.
If we get somebody's name wrong, man, message us and tell us the number one preferred way you would like it pronounced, and we'll hit that on the 200th episode. Thank you goes out to all of these wonderful people. Adam P. Nave.
Amateur Surgery. Now I'm guessing that's not a given name.
Well, you know, hey, I mean, just Ashley.
Barry Cope.
Brandon Medley.
Chris Somney.
No, you skipped one.
Oh, C. I thought I was saying the letter C. Nope. Names were about to start.
Just the letter C.
Oh, thank you, letter C.
Now I get to say Chris Somney.
Curtis Franklin.
Oh, Curtis, is it? Oh, he's fancy now. Curtis, what is this?
Scheidler.
Curtis Scheidler, okay.
Dan Forster.
Uh-huh. I think that's what this is. Daniel Feltz.
Dara Emery.
I think that might be Dara. Either way, David Looney.
Don.
I like the people that just have one name. Dustin Stewart.
L. Collins.
Was it Fiona Adams?
Franco Laura.
We're also reading this off of a phone screen that we're trying to hold like equal distance between us at angles and not be too loud in the mic. Haley Gilmore.
James Leach.
Jason Doring.
Jeff Stolark.
Yeah. I think that sounds... Joe Zuniga.
Joshua Meyer.
Ken Liu.
Laurel Phillips.
Lauren Ng. That sounded like one name. Lauren Ng.
Lakeith Lewis.
Lucy Lane. Is that right? Lois Lane's sister?
Yeah. Luke Ayer.
It's Hare.
Hare, okay.
That one I know. Mal Pertui, who, that's Kim. I mean, not to blow your cover, Kim, but I know that's you.
Matt Drain?
What? Matt Smith. Hopefully the one, either the one that's an artist or the one that's Doctor Who.
Certainly, gotta be. Matt Sweeney.
Megan McAllister.
Mike Norton.
Ming Doyle.
Nick Schifani?
Yeah. Hey, we know him. Pedro Picure?
Rebecca Weisskirchen.
Reese Chappius.
Reed Armour.
Robert Headley.
Ruth Von Stein.
Von Steen. That's
Von
my,
Steen.
That's Sorry. My mom.
No disrespect to your mom.
Scott Barrios.
Sean Hutchison.
Sean Anderson.
Stephanie Graff.
Steven Garza.
And Sydney Taylor B.
Oh, no, wait. Let's see. No. Todd Lauzan. Let's see. Now, this makes me feel bad, too, because I've met Todd. I met him at a con, I'm almost certain. And I'm like, surely someone must have said his name. See, this is, well, at least we waited until almost the end of it for me to really mess one up.
And Zachary Cavani?
Cavani? Yeah. All right. Well, folks, now you know you've got some homework to let us know how bad we messed it up. But I just want to thank all of you guys. I hadn't done that in a minute. And you're all absolutely the best, even if you're not a patron anymore. Just any of the support that people have shown over the time period I've been doing this thing is phenomenal. And I am so grateful for it. And so thank you so much. And let's get on with the show. Today, we're going to be talking about some comics, and we've got a lot of cool comic stuff to talk about. But also, in the world of comics, got two exciting things today. Much, I think, as I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like too much of a of an "I told you so"er, but not to you specifically, right. But just in general, to the
you told me
to the world at large. Breaking news today that, and I now that I've said today. I have to get this episode up today. breaking news today that Sony and Marvel have come to an agreement on Tom Holland's Spider-Man returning for at least two MCU movies.
Remaining,
I guess.
Yeah, as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios having important control.
Yeah, steering the ship.
Shoo.
Yeah.
That's good news. A huge relief.
Huge sigh of relief, especially when just the day before we got the wonderful news that whoever wrote the Morbius script has been hired to make a Madam Web movie. Yeah. And I'm like, Sony, can you not?
Not everything has to be a major motion picture.
Not most of these characters do not. It's like, it's that same thing with like Amazing Spider-Man 2 when they were like, oh yeah, and we're going to do just a Sinister Six movie, and we're going to do that. We're going to do an Aunt May movie. And it's like, get that you got, but it's like, think about how much money you could save by not making these movies. They're going to be horrible flops.
Right.
Just, you could save that money.
Yeah.
Just put it in the bank.
Yeah.
Instead of take that, you know, $300 million you were going to use
some interest.
Pay some dividends for your stockholders or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
So this, the Sony and Marvel and the fate of the Spider-Man property had kind of been up in the air a little over a month now, because it started in August. Mid to late August is when we found out that that they had a disagreement about the future franchises and what percent of profits are they going to share and all those kind of things. And you had different people saying, Sony shouldn't have done it that way, or Marvel's being greedy. But either way, they seemed like they'd hit an impasse where they couldn't make it work. And Sony said, hey, we're just going to make our own Spider-Man stuff. And Marvel said, hey, we're fine without you. And it was disappointing for
Spider fans.
Yeah, that had just loved seeing Tom Holland's Spider-Man specifically and seeing him play off these other characters. Now, you and I are both tend to try to be optimists and look on the bright side of these things and not try to get too cynical. And honestly, it seemed like it was pretty final. The doors closed, so I was coming to that stage of the cycles of grief.
I never thought it was
of acceptance, and in the sense that not that I wasn't holding out hope that they're going to work something out, because I mean there's always a chance. It was the same way with the Fox Marvel deal. How many times did they tell us that was done? I was definitely holding out hope they'd work
also,
it out.
Also, I like that you said the Fox Marvel deal, not the Fox Disney deal.
You're right, yeah.
Because all we care about is right? The X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, anyway, so I was hopeful, but also I come to the place where I was thinking, well, even if it is just Sony producing these Spider-Man movies, if it's still keeping Tom Holland and that cast, if it's still the same with John Watts as the director, mm-hmm. It could still be good. And I was thinking that this is kind of my train of thought is there's still a lot of Spider-Man material to cover that we've not
to
seen
ruin.
In the movies to ruin. Yeah. There's still a lot that they can do that. They could have a Spider-Man do some Spider-Man more Spidey centric stories that don't need to play off any other Marvel characters or have those cameos. There's still plenty of material there. Now I think, would it be better with Kevin Feige's oversight? Of mm-hmm. course, but
especially with just where they left things.
Oh yeah, with Far From Home ending on the big spoiler cliffhanger of
reveal, which maybe you haven't seen it. I mean, it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there. I was more along thinking of like we don't need other MCU characters popping in for cameos or supporting roles for it still to be good because there's enough just in the Spidey's depth chart of stories and characters that if they wanted to do a more Far From Home was big, you know, world. If they wanted to zoom in a little tighter, closer. For this third one, there's still plenty to do. So I'd kind of come to the place where it's like, you know what? I'll probably still see it. It'll be okay. Now with all these other properties, I was like, Sony, what are you doing? You're spreading yourself too thin. But then of course, love the news. Yeah. That they were able to work something out. And
I'm a little nervous though, when it was like, cause the deal is for Spider-Man to be in two more MCU movies and then to be in, what is it like to be in two Sony movies or something?
All I'd seen was definitely a Spider-Man 3 and then one other MCU.
Like a team-up movie, yeah. Whatever it is. I mean, we'll get all... It's not really important.
And the Spider-Man 3 as soon as, what, summer of 21?
Yeah.
So not that far away.
Yeah, they hit the date. That was part of the announcement was the date for when it's going to come out.
So two years.
Which is... certainly enough time to get it together, but anytime I do start getting nervous when these things happen where they're like, we've got to get it out by this date. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but we don't know what we're doing it. Now, of course, I would assume that Marvel already had plans for exactly what they were going to do with Spider-Man, or else they wouldn't have left Far From Home where it was.
Right.
Where that leaves you, like they would never do that without knowing what the next step was.
Yeah.
The problem was I was very scared about Sony taking that next step because it's like, I don't trust them to find their way out of a porta potty.
Right. And then of course where that leaves them in terms of, how do you follow up on those plot lines? If you can't use Happy Hogan, if you can't use Nick Fury, if you can't use some of this other stuff.
And it's not, and some people did complain that, that Far From Home was still like very, was almost, you know, like a, like Iron Man was still like the co-star of that movie, which doesn't bother me at all because it's like, it's interesting to see the way they handled it all is like very interesting. And I mean like, and Peter's arc through the five MCU movies that he's been in was very interesting and satisfying to me. Like I really enjoyed it, but I get if people complain, it's like, hey, we don't need all this Spider-Man stuff or Iron Man stuff. Let's do more Spider-Man thing. I'm like, okay. But I mean, also then they did like an amazing, they pulled Mysterio off.
Oh my goodness. Like what? So well.
What can you complain about when they found a way to make what could potentially,
I don't remember if we even did a Far From Home episode, but I loved it. I thought it was
really good. Oh boy.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter now.
we both really enjoyed it. I mean, we certainly could talk, but we've got too much other stuff to talk about. So that's very exciting. And I'm glad that happened, that news broke today, right before we were going to record.
There's a big smile on my face for sure.
Yeah. Instead of after, then if that news had come out later today, after we did this, we would have both just been, I feel like, would have been so frustrated.
Missed opportunity, yeah.
Yeah, at the missed opportunity to talk about it. But, and of course, as more news on that, we'll keep, we'll keep up on all of that news as it's happening. But that's, at the very least, that's exciting. We know we're going to get something good out of at least two more good Spider-Man movies before.
Real quick, what's the plot of Spider-Man 3? And your what do you think? What do you think they
should do? Well, man, that's and that was kind of the thing is like my brain immediately shifted to going like, oh, how are they going to try to do this without the greater MCU?
Right.
It seems like this feels like it should be a pretty easy fix to in sort of like in my mind in a world with the MCU characters to go, hey, that to have the Avengers come out and go, hey, actually, this was the bad guy, yeah. And he was lying. And because, you know, I mean, who knows?
And Marvel's so weird about their cliffhangers, because sometimes things you think are going to be a major issue in the next movie just aren't, and they just breeze over it. Yeah, that's solved. And then sometimes...
Well, the cliffhanger at the end of Homecoming.
Yeah.
With Aunt May.
Yeah, they were just...
And it was just like, you're like...
Yeah.
But then you get to it and it's like, well, he's been to space now. I think that's the least of her concerns.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I think about even going back to phase one. So the first Thor movie ends with Thor is cut off from Earth. Can't go to Earth anymore. Then in Avengers.
He just shows up.
He shows up and, you know, we're not going to worry about it. And so I'm like, I could see them with Spider-Man 3 being like in the time between. They worked it out, but also a satisfying, at least something to acknowledge. You know, they could go to the comic book route, do the one moment in time, have Doctor Strange kind of just make everybody forget that happened.
That seems like
because it's not just Spidey's a criminal. It's Peter. Everyone knows he's Peter Parker. That's the big problem.
Spoiler. In case, I'll put something in that just in case. Just in case.
I think did we? Well, okay. Yeah, I think we said spoiler.
Yeah, probably. Look, whatever. I mean, that's the biggest. Well, it's. I don't think the criminal part is the issue. It's really more that just now everyone knows who he is. But I mean, that is also kind of like. That's what Tony did,
yeah.
At the start or at the end, that was the cliffhanger for Iron Man,
right?
So, you know, maybe it's just okay. Maybe it's not that big a deal. But it seems very against the Spider-Man character,
yeah.
To have
it's not good for his identity to be out in the open.
I don't
know. They need to figure out a way to fix that, and then how he does it is the story is interesting.
Yeah, it's just, I mean. Got a lot of different ways you could go with it. I have no idea because there's so many different ways you could go with it. I don't know what way I would want to go with it because it's like I don't want to just like walk it back.
No, you want to play with the consequences of it.
Yeah, but I'm like, but also I would never have done that. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have ever dreamed of putting that at the end of the movie. You know, like, and it's not even the end of the movie. It's the post-credits thing.
This is a little teasery kind of thing.
So you have to think that there's like a certain percentage of the audience that didn't even see it.
Possibly. Yeah, if people are still walking out of Marvel movies.
I still see it.
It still happens.
Every one of these, there's people that as soon as the credits start, they go, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yay. All right, let's get out of here.
When I think about what I want to see in a sequel, I try to think about what have we not seen in the films yet. And major Spider-Man stories and characters that we've not seen. So this Far From Home checked a big box for Mysterio. We finally got Mysterio. And part of me is really, I guess, glad that it happened in this when it did. That if we, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they would not have the technology to do Mysterio like they did and to do it so well. So it was exciting to see that.
But, well, and the cleverness of the setup for him was it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And like it's hard. I don't think anyone could have predicted anybody could predict the idea that it's like, he's not really who he says he is. But like the way that they did it.
How they executed it.
Yeah, the execution was just
clever.
Wow.
So I think big things I think we've not seen, big characters, big storylines, is some kind of Kraven the Hunter story.
Mm-hmm. But they're wanting to do, Sony is wanting to do their own, just a Kraven movie.
Is that still? Yeah, so who knows then?
Just don't
do that. Don't do that that you're thinking.
Boy, howdy. Don't do that. Don't do
a Kraven or even a Kraven and a chameleon kind of interwoven thing since they're related. of like
that. I bet that's where they were going with. I bet that was Marvel's plan. Was yeah, to bring the chameleon into
and,
it
and spy in that whole world with a.
That may be so obvious yeah. to everyone else, and I just had like a moment about it.
But. Well, yeah, the Nick Fury, the spy games kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
Oh boy, what are some other sort of like what's some Spidey stuff that they that none of the movies have done? Because it's easy to go like, oh well, I'd love to see the MCU do a good version. Not wait, not a good version. Like to do an
to see do their the take MCU on... version
of like you know of the Green Goblin of Dr. Octopus,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm torn. Yeah. Well, I want to see. Yeah, Norman Osborn in that universe playing in that space. A lot of people rumored that they thought that's where they'd be going next, as kind of a through line villain, or at least Earthside. But yeah, doesn't look like. But yeah, I try to think. Man, who have we not seen at all? Not in the Sam Raimi movies. Not in the.
Well,
Amazing
and you think
films.
About with Tony gone, really seems like oh, this is room for a Norman Osborn type to swoop
right.
in.
Yeah.
And that's a way to go
yeah,
with
people
it.
Are talking maybe he's the one buying Avengers Tower and remodeling it. Maybe that'll be Oscorp or maybe that's the Baxter Building, all these, you know, all this kind of fan theory things. But yeah, if Kraven and Chameleon, we've not seen at all. I'm trying to think about Scorpion. Yeah. Oh, no, we did have Scorpion in Homecoming. A
yeah.
little teaser of him in the prison, somebody with a scorpion tattoo,
yeah.
but not like in the suit with the tail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. We didn't see... that's really seems like you're going to the bottom of the barrel to like jump to the shocker, but he was in
yeah he was
Homecoming.
In there.
I mean, and they found a way to have him sort of in that outfit, like
yeah.
Like, anyway, but yeah, you would love to see, or I would love to see them do a good version of Electro.
Yeah,
of
all the ones I wish they could redo. Yeah, yeah, that would be. That'd be a good one.
And the big thing that was worrisome for me beyond the MCU not being involved, Kevin Feige not being involved, was the idea. It's like the scripts usually are what is the biggest problem to me with Sony stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like across the board, like with these things where they've tried to do properties where it's like, well, that, like with both of those Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies, but especially the second one. Where they're just trying too much. I'm like, I don't trust you guys to do anything right.
Yeah.
You've not given me a reason to believe in you. And so I was like, even if you've got the same director and the same cast, it's like, I just can't imagine, like, they don't seem to care about getting scripts right.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that should be your, have a good script to start with.
Right.
And anyway.
Anyway.
Oh boy! All I can think about now. I'm just so focused on like what other Spider-Man stuff would be neat. What haven't they done? Like a good version of the Rhino.
Yeah.
I
mean, we've not had the Jackal in a proper clone saga.
Oh boy! Oh well, and that would be. There's another way they could get, but it's like, oh boy, you really want to jump into that?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I was more kidding. I don't know that would ever work well in the movies, but
well, I mean, I think they can. I think they can. I feel pretty confident that, like, and this is not like I'm just some like complete shill for Marvel. I'm just like, well, they haven't like really let me down.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, like all these movies have been at worst. The movies that I have liked the least, I'm still like, it was good. It was
yeah.
pretty good.
Like, it's a good time. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I'm like, and there's not like stuff that just like makes me, there hasn't been like anything in any of these Marvel movies. I mean, the real one, there's some stuff you can maybe complain about in like, the Incredible Hulk or like in Iron Man 2, maybe, where there's stuff where you're going like, but there's nothing like in some of these DCEU movies
right.
or in like the Sony stuff where you're just going like, this is insulting to my intelligence
yeah.
and this is like, I'm infuriated by this.
And in 20 something movies, that's an incredible track record.
Yes.
That there's,
that's unreal.
That even in Iron Man 2, incredible, they're still watchable.
Oh yeah, totally.
And you're just comparing them against some pretty high heights and
yeah.
it's almost fair to them, but yeah, no, it's really good. So excited for the future of Spidey. Still optimistic
yep.
about that. What was the other breaking news?
It was what you showed me.
So the Brandon
Routh. I'll post this picture that you showed me too. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, picture online today of Brandon Routh in the Kingdom Come Superman suit for CW's Big Crisis on Infinite Earths TV event.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Even though those shows are mostly, or not, I won't say mostly, but are often, some of those shows are often hard to watch because they do things that make you go like, this is insulting my intelligence.
Yeah.
This is insulting my fandom, you know, or like, this is just like, this is dumb. This is, you know, like things from like, who would do that? Why would anyone say that? This is silly.
I'm very behind on Arrowverse stuff. I've watched, I don't even know what season they're on of some of these things. I did watch a lot of Arrow, a lot of Flash, watch Supergirl, watch Legends of Tomorrow, but I know I'm probably multiple seasons behind on some of these, but I still kind of want to jump in on this one because I think it's just going to be so cool to.
And it's like, if it really charges me up, that's what I want to do. I haven't watched an episode of any of the Arrowverse things since the last one that Katie and I watched for Supergirl Gab.
Yeah.
And it was just, I think we were kind of like, we got sort of like worn down on, it got hard to be, you know, sometimes it gets hard to go like, I'm excited to try to like keep your excitement and desire up when the thing keeps kind of like disappointing you and just keeps being like a bummer. Like it's tough. It's like, it's tough, like just complaining about something every week.
Because there are some good episodes, but when they get really far between, it's tough to keep that enthusiasm up.
Well, and like when you're going, oh, I've seen that how good this show can be when there's a great episode. And then you go like, okay, so why is it 10 episodes of just like mediocre dreck, you know, I'm laughing at myself for using the word dreck, in between, like, why can't you try this hard on all of them? Or when you see things where it goes like, look, now I know I say this on that all the time. It's like, I know that there's really, I'm sure it's very hard putting these shows together.
Oh,
it's a lot of people doing a lot of hard work, and it's not like there's no, like, it's not like, oh, this is just, these people are bad and they're just trying to make crap.
No, it's a minor miracle that these shows even exist at all. And you got full on superheroics on regular TV.
But it's like when you see that the show can be really good, you start to resent when it is like kind of crummy week after week.
Sure.
And it feels like, oh, you got your start, you got your big opener and you've got your like mid-season finale thing. It's like a good idea. And then you know where you want it to end.
And then a lot of filler.
But in between, there's just a lot of filler and you guys are, it's clearly,
especially
just
when you see other series models of doing, especially on the streaming services, of 13 episode seasons or 10 or even 8 episode seasons, just no filler. Man, let's just
have the good stuff. And it's like, and you don't have to, you don't have to like drag things out, or that's the weird thing too, is when you'd see sometimes some stuff get really dragged out, take a long time, longer than it needs to. And then other stuff get like really rushed to go like, and let's throw this in real quick. And it's like, it always feels like, man, if you spend more time at the beginning and like really carefully plot it out and don't have to fill, you know, 24 episodes or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I intend to jump in on this Crisis on Infinite Earths. No, when I'm behind on,
I should get Katie involved and go like, hey, I know we've missed a bunch. Let's just jump back in on this and see what we think and go from there. And if it like totally re-energizes us wanting to find out what we missed.
Yeah. And I think if I understand correctly, this is going to end the Arrow series.
This is the last season of Arrow. Yes.
Uh-huh. So maybe, anyway, and I'm not even sure what all Flash, Supergirl,
Supergirl and Legends are going into their fifth season.
But I mean, as far as are they tying into this big
thing?
Black Lightning?
I don't think.
Batwoman,
yes.
Okay. So yeah, lots of shows to keep up with, but
it feels like Black Lightning has so far like been completely its own thing.
Okay.
And I've seen some people definitely saying that that is to its benefit.
Oh, good.
That it has definitely benefited from just kind of like not having to get involved in all this other stuff. But it also feels a little bit like, man, come on.
It's almost like watching the Netflix or Hulu Marvel stuff, that it's in some ways it's good that they don't have to deal with all that, but also it'd be kind of cool if it was a little more connected too.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, honestly, like I said, I'm like so behind on every one of those shows. It's like,
only one I'm current on is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's the only Arrowverse show that you're current on?
No, I thought we broadened the scope a little bit to comic shows in general. No, Arrowverse shows, I'm not current on any of them.
Oh boy. Man, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. let's not talk about these shows. Okay. but that picture you showed me, that was like, it was incredible.
Looks cool. Yeah.
It looked very cool. And we're 100% certain that's
from the studio. That's not a fan.
Okay.
Name. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was like, it looks a little too, it almost looks like so slick that it seems like a fan Photoshop, because I feel like sometimes the official stuff, like oftentimes the fan stuff looks better than the studio, the stuff the studio actually does. And that looked so good. I was like, I'm dubious.
So that one is actually the studio, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Sometimes I think about like the Spider-Man Far From Home posters versus the fan made things.
Yeah, the studio
posters. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Anyway, so those are the two kind of exciting things. Now let's talk about some comics. We definitely want to talk about the biggest thing in my mind in comics has been certainly Jonathan Hickman's X-Men. But before we get into that, real quick, I would just like to ask you, and because I've got some I want to talk about. I don't really want to talk about them in depth, so this is why I want to. But has there been anything else that you've been reading lately that's been exciting to you, or that's been making you feel good about reading comics?
Yeah,
because we had a conversation the other day, and it was related to the X-Men stuff.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And I want us to get into that stuff. But the we were talking the other day about how. Well, why don't you explain what you were going through with the X-Men?
Okay.
Recently, and the kind of aneurysm that was.
Sure, sure. So when you read a lot of comics, right? When you read a lot of comics, you end up reading a lot of just comics that aren't any good, or they're filler, or just straight up bad. That when you read an issue of something that's well crafted, well executed, you're like, oh, this is why. This is my hobby. That's why I even do this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what with the X-Men, and this is just, I guess, a peek inside to Matt a little bit and how, how I read comics. I try to set up a certain reading order.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to use the word OCD flippantly, like, or lightly, but I do think it is a little bit of that in how I read. Like I set up a list of the things I want to read. It bothers me to read something out of order or to read something where I know I missed an issue that would have been important. And it's like, I feel like I watched an episode of a TV show and missed a couple before it or something. And I don't like that feeling. So I have a meticulous reading order that I follow. So that compounded with, I'm usually pretty far behind, I'm usually a couple months behind on different things trying to read. And so hearing about the good news about how X-Men.
Have you heard the good news about the X-Men comics? Gang, let me tell you. There is
Come around, brother.
Yes, there is some good news to hear about the X-Men.
Yeah, and I knew it would be because I loved everything else Jonathan Hickman's done at Marvel. His Fantastic Four and Avengers, Secret War, all of that. I loved it. So I was confident I would enjoy his X-Men. But then I'm looking, I've got a lot of X-Men comics to read before I'm air quotes current enough to read that. And I've got this long, because there are a lot of X-Men comics out there and a lot of them aren't good.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading through these you're messaging me. It doesn't matter. Just skip down.
He kept telling me from jump, I was going, just Matt, don't do this to yourself. He's like, I've got to read all of this and all that. I need to find out how that. And I was like, it doesn't matter, Matt, please. Like every week I was like, are new X-Men. The new X-Men is, are you starting on that yet? And he's like, no, I've still got to read all of the Rosenberg Uncanny, and I've got to read this. I was like, Matt, please. He's like, well, I need to know how he brought Cyclops back. And I was like, Matt, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And he's like, well, what about this return of Wolverine? I was like, please, you're hurt. It was like hurting me to see you doing this to yourself. Cause I was like, and I have that same thing too, but I was like, I just hit a point where I was like, no. I'm not going to subject myself to this garbage. I was like, it's obvious filler. It's just trash.
It is filler.
And it's like, it's clearly just killing time until Hickman, but it was like, but still trying to seem like it mattered by doing like really stunt type things with characters that we care about and with no real like repercussions or consequences or like weight to it.
Yeah. So much seems like, someone had a sensational idea, but not a story, you know? So it's like, man, I've got an idea. Wouldn't it be cool to do this? But that's not the same thing as a story.
Exactly.
A story is going to It's going to invoke certain things. It's going to be meaningful on a level above just the text and what's happening
on the
page.
It has a purpose beyond just going, here's something that happens. Yeah. It's like it's trying to say something bigger or mean something exactly. bigger. And it's like, he just kept saying that. And I was going like, it was like every week I was just going, Matt, please, it doesn't matter. And he was like, well, what about, I mean, I need to know how, you know, why this happened, how that, and I was like.
Characters that are dead is especially like, I need to know how it came back. I know that Wolverine's supposed to be dead, Cyclops supposed to be dead. And yeah, you would say
that. But it doesn't. I was like, man, yeah. I promise it's not going to matter. I was like, just start reading this and it will make, and this, we're going to honestly like this, Jonathan Hickman and company and Arby Silva and was it Pepe Larraz are the artists and just the whole crew. Everyone is doing
killing
incredible, incredible work. This is something, unless these last two issues just seems totally
doubtful, though. Yeah.
Like unless these last two issues just all of a sudden like come out and are just somehow are absolute garbage. You know, like I feel like this is going to be a thing that's going to stand up for, you know, completely absolutely. Stand the test of time. It's like, this is incredible. And it shows the kind of like the difference in, and this was the thing we talked about was, yeah. I was like, this has been so good. It shows so much the difference in the level of craft involved. And like, it shows the difference between, just stark contrast between a writer and team and, you know, an artist. And I mean, well, honestly, in comics, a lot of times art is not the problem. Right. You've got people that are drawing their butts off, you know, for really.
It's not their fault that the story is not.
And it's not always the writer's fault that the story. And sometimes it's like editorials, like maybe some of these, you know, like that. I think that Matthew Rosenberg run on Uncanny X-Men right before this was terrible, but I don't necessarily think it was his fault.
Yeah, and certainly
alone.
Enjoyed other stuff he's written. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's, you know, I think that there's a lot of thing where editorial's probably going, well, we've got this real thing coming up and this is going to be a big deal.
What
and
a terrible position to be in. Because on one hand, you're super stoked. I'm writing
I get to write the X-Men.
Comic,
yeah.
At the same time, it's, you know, it's not their big priority.
It's like, I know it's going to be only for this limited amount of time. No one's going to care.
Or retconned out of existence.
Yeah, no matter what I do, it's like, it's not really going to matter. But it shows such a difference between someone who's like, every last little bit of this Hickman X-Men, and it's the same in his other stuff. It's the same in S.H.I.E.L.D. It's the same with Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. you know, with all of his stuff. He puts so much work. You feel how much work and thought and
craftsmanship
and preparation. And like, you feel every bit of it in like every page of this thing. Everyone is like, just feels like you're watching a real thing kind of unfold, even when it's like an incredible thing, but it's like people have very distinct voices and it's not just surface level. Like, oh, this one has that accent, you know, it's like, or like this one's words are written in this font. It's very much these people. And like they feel so much more alive and real.
I feel that way reading a Tom Taylor comic book too. Like
the
voices of the characters that, everything feels like it means something.
Yeah.
He's thought about this and its repercussions.
And this is like the bigger thing that I think is really important is because like, I feel like there've been several times here recently where I started just feeling, I was like, why am I messing with these things?
Yeah.
I was like, so many of these are just such garbage. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this art is great. But I was like, no one talks like this. Right. No one would ever talk like this in this situation. That stuff has started like on and on, like as it's just continuing to ramp up for me, how much bad dialogue can ruin a comic for me. And stuff where I feel like this Hickman thing is working with a lot of big ideas and like really out there stuff and like introducing concepts that most comic readers are probably not familiar with, or like getting into things where he's like, hey, I'm trying to lay a lot of stuff on you here. I'm bringing in my love of, you know, I read this book on this and then I ended up doing all this research about, you know, whatever. I don't want to get too into the specifics, but there's like all this stuff. You can tell he's done a lot of research on a lot of stuff and he's not just pulling it out of thin air.
Right.
Now I think that there are some writers who, and he probably could pull great stuff out of thin air for like dealing with big ideas, but it's like, it feels like everything he's talking about in there, you know, or the characters are talking about, like all that stuff, you feel like, oh, this is like when he's talking about science stuff, you go, oh, he's done the research.
For sure.
He knows what he's, this, even if it's not, it's feels very much like everything he could point to. He could show his, like his citations for like, oh, this is where I found out about this. And this is what,
or at least this. Enough that in this world, it sounds,
it and makes here, sense. Yeah.
One page will be maybe a chart or
and I'm not trying to read a science textbook. Right. You know, I mean, it's still, it's supposed to be a fun action adventure comic, but it, to me, it's the difference with like all these big things and like crazy ideas that he's doing. The difference between someone who really, it feels like who really knows what they're doing and pulling it off versus say, and I wanted to try to like keep this all positive, but I am going to mention, I don't even, well, no, I want to call it out because it's terrible. That name terrible is too, not, is too hard, but that the current run of Justice League has got like a, just a murderer's row of great artists on it.
Absolutely.
It's got great, the team in the book established, like, you know, who the characters are. And some of the ideas are great ideas, but then there's also stuff where it's just like, this is trying to be like for lack of a better term for me, it's like, this is trying to be Grant Morrison-y without knowing how to actually be.
Trying to be too big, too much, too
and
fast.
And trying to go like, oh, it's oh boy, I wish I could just pull some quotes from it, but it's like the hyper meta net of the universe is collapsing in on the, under the weight of the, like, and it's just like, okay, you're just trying to sound like this is a big deal, but it's really just, oh, the thing's going to blow up. It's not really any bigger idea than, and it's just, when I see comics do this thing of where, oh, this is a bigger thing than, and look, this is not just about the people who are writing this, because it's Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV. This is not just about them. I think this is part of the problem with like both of them seem to be doing a lot of work. And I see writers who I trust. Honestly, the first arc of that new Avengers that Jason Aaron is writing, who I absolutely love Jason Aaron. Yeah. His Thor run has been like just monumentally incredible.
Yeah.
But in that first run of the Avengers, I felt like it was the exact same thing where it's just like, oh, all those other things that have happened before that were like, oh, that's nothing compared to
big
this.
Big ideas, but not a reason to care.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you're just telling me that, oh, these guys are bigger than this. Oh, this is bigger than the universe. And it's, oh, it's the metaverse or the blah, it's the thing that's bigger than this. And it's just, but then it's like, well, I know that this trade is only 6 issues and there's an issue 7. So they must take care of it. It doesn't feel like there's any real stakes when you just make something that's like great, great, big and try to act like, oh, now care about it because it's such a big universal problem. It's like, oh, these are like the people that created the Celestials or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, the Galactus and the Celestials, they're huge, but these are even bigger.
A little bit bigger.
These are a little bit bigger. Oh, and they're mean.
This one goes to 11.
And it's like, but, and there's no chance. We don't have a hope of beating them and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, we're the, and there's a thing and a blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but then Ghost Rider's going to hit him with a car and like Captain America's going to throw his shield and it doesn't matter. Yeah, you've got him at the ocean, in the bottom of the ocean in a bubble or whatever. Like, okay, like there's no real, that's the problem is like when you try to just do big idea as your reason to care and your reason to push the story forward is like, it's such a huge, gigantic, oh, look at how crazy big ideas. And like, we're talking about the fourth dimension and the nth metal and the blah, blah, blah.
A big idea is not a story. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, so Grant Morrison's first arc of Justice League, of JLA, worked so great. And it's not like I do love Grant Morrison, but he strikes out sometimes too. Nobody's perfect, but, his first arc of JLA was a world level thing because it was basically this new group of superpowered people shows up and just wipes the floor with the Justice League and kind of takes over as like, we're the new Justice League in town. And it's like, that's a big idea. But the reason it worked was all of the little character stuff where it's like, you've got, it's like there's the mystery of what's going to happen, but it all still felt very personal to the characters. And it was like, it wasn't just like, when you have that moment in that early Justice League where it seems like hopeless, like all the Justice League has been beaten up. You haven't, you don't know what the twist is yet for who the, what were they called? The Hyperkin, something like that.
I don't remember.
Oh boy. I hate that I'm forgetting what they're called. Anyway, it's like the, but they show up, they've got Superman chained up with a big thing of kryptonite in front of him. He can't do anything. And it's like, everybody's been beaten. Like the only person they haven't accounted for is Batman. And it's got that part where everything seems hopeless and the bad guys are basically gloating and they're like, whatever, we can deal with him. And then like Superman just starts laughing and it, you know, and then they're like, what's so fun, you know, whatever. Yeah. And he's like, oh my gosh, you didn't get Batman. You guys are so screwed. Yeah. Like, and but he doesn't, it doesn't just have it like, and then Batman swoops in and beats everybody up. There's like,
you get that character moment.
You get this whole, well, it's like, so like in this new Justice League, you might have something where it's like all of a sudden, oh, then someone comes in at the last second to save the day. But it's like, it's not set up like Batman doesn't just then swoop in and punch everybody. Like, then he meticulously, you get the next issue or whatever, or the whole next thing is like him meticulously figuring out how to take them all down one at a time and get his friend, you know, get the Justice League back and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's awesome. And as the reader, you don't know people may have figured it out, but it's like when you're reading it at the time, it's like, I was like a kid, but
yeah.
But you know, that thing of where you don't know what Batman knows yet.
Yeah.
And like in these things, it's just, there's nothing beyond the sort of, oh, here it is. There's no like mystery to it. It's just like, right. Oh, they're going to have some kind of fight and then they'll win.
It'll be the stakes could be much smaller, but if you give me a reason to care,
Now this, so this on the other hand, I'm sorry, and I've had this Justice League thing in the chamber for a while.
No, Justice League has been a little frustrating.
We talked about this too, and we were like, it's like, I want to like it so much. Because it is, I love comics.
It's doing big fun. It's like doing the Super Friends, Legion of Doom. It's a lot of these big concepts. The execution is just off somehow. The execution,
yeah. And it's like, I love comics. I love when comics do big ideas. Like, I love Tom Scioli's stuff. With like that Transformers versus G.I. Joe and like his GoBots, which is a wild thing to say that, you know,
right.
But it's like, it's really good. And he deals in like really crazy out there ideas, but it's like, that's not all it is. Mm-hmm. There's like all this other stuff to keep. And like, you know, Grant Morrison does big crazy ideas. Like his Green Lantern is all over the place with like stuff where he's like trying out things that like nobody's ever done with Green Lantern. But there has to be, that can't just be the only part of it.
It
can't
be all
that
it is.
Or if you want to just do it like big, over the top, crazy, fun, insane, you can't also have everything be taking it like insanely seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with this Justice League for me is that it's ludicrous. The stuff that's happening is like really over the top, like big, crazy ideas. To the point of where it's like, well, this is kind of silly because it seems kind of silly because it's being taken so, just so very serious.
Yeah.
It's like the Super Friends is fun because they have big, crazy adventures, but it's all kind of like, oh, that was a tough one.
They got a smile on their face.
And it's like, well,
so it's hard to do that with some of the ideas he's bringing in from Metal and like the Batman who laughs and this uber dark stuff. And it just doesn't gel together.
You can't have it be super dark and super big fun. I think you maybe can.
The craftsmanship. You got to execute just right.
You got to get it just right, man. And, well, anyway.
We're trying to run through things that we did.
Recently. Sorry.
It's all good.
I was going to say stuff that, so when there are things that make you feel like, oh, this is the kind of goodness why I'm reading this.
So a couple, we already said, Jason Aaron's Thor. There's a Spider-Man miniseries called Life Story by Chip Zdarsky, and Mark Bagley. And when that story started, and the concept is we're going to go through Spider-Man's life, but in real time. So like if he really did debut in the 60s, and now in modern times, he'd be an old man. And then each issue kind of takes a decade. I was not sold on that at first. The first couple issues, I'm like, I mean, it's okay. But as that series went on, I loved it more and more and more. And the last issue of that, issue number 6, Spider-Man Life Story, is one of the best Spider-Man issues I've read in a long time, and the perfect kind of ending to that character. And honestly, you could pick up number six and not read the others if you know the concept.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because there's decades between each issue. So yeah. It's almost like starting fresh with each one. But I would recommend everybody pick up Spider-Man Life Story number six. Just a great comic.
And not the rest?
You can get the rest, but if you're like, man, I can only get one. I've only got $4. So then I definitely recommend that one.
That's very cool. I want to mention this because this is one of the, I didn't know you were going to talk about that, but I wanted to talk about another Chip Zdarsky book, which is his run on Daredevil.
Yeah,
Daredevil is a character I've always been a big fan of, but his comics have often been hit or miss for me, and like some people's direction on them are not what I would do. I loved the Wade and Somni stuff, obviously. That was great. But then after that, I was kind of like, I had a hard time keeping with it after they left. When the series started over and it was like he was back in New York, and I just was kind of like, this doesn't feel like, I was just like, this isn't for me right now. And I would kind of like dip in and out here and there. And then when they did the thing, when that run started ending and I knew they were doing the, I think the story was called The Death of Daredevil,
which
I mean, I didn't think it was actually that they were going to kill him, but,
yeah.
But I started reading that cause I was like, I knew it was leading into, I was like, it's going to be the thing that leads into whatever the new book is. So I read that and I was like, it was okay. I was like, that's not bad. It didn't get me like really excited, but I was like, it's fine. I was like, okay, that's an interesting thing they've done. It's like, it seems like they're trying to put a little bit more of a thing that's like, surely this kind of stuff has happened before, but they had an interest anyway. But I was like, I'm curious to see how this Zdarsky book goes. Sure. Cause he's just a guy where I'm like, he does interesting stuff, and I like him as a creator, and I go, I'm just kind of curious to see what he does with it. And it didn't click for me at first, but I was like, well, it's just enough to kind of like make me go, all right, I'll read the next one, you know, and I kept with it. And then it's like, you know, I kind of let like a few issues, I let it get out a few issues, you know, where then I could go back.
You could read a few together.
And read some more together. And man, I think they're up to issue like 11 now or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I went back and like, once I kind of caught up, then I went back and reread all of it until it was to whatever I was current. This was like a couple weeks ago. So there may have been a new issue by now, but, I was just like, with the exception of the fact that there is like some sort, there's kind of like some, there's a couple issues that where the art, there's several different artists in this,
right,
however many issues. Cause it's, I feel like it, maybe it hasn't been double shipping, but it feels like it has. Maybe I don't think it's been 11 months since it started, but who knows? But even the weaker art issues, the art issues that are very strong are very strong. So it kind of makes up for the weaker ones. But it's just phenomenal. I'm like, this is the most excited I've been about Deadpool since Wade and Somni were doing it. And there was like even a couple things in there where they mentioned stuff that happened in this last run, and they had like the issue, you know, down in the editor's note thing. They were like, oh, this happened in this issue. And I was like, okay, well, I want to know. And like, I went back on Marvel Unlimited and was like, okay, now I want to find out what happened. And it made that stuff feel like I was more excited about reading this stuff than in the previously. And it's just like a testament to like what a good job Zdarsky is doing with the, and it's like where I'm going, like, this is like something I'm now anxious to keep up with. And I'm just like, it's amazing that this dude came from, I wouldn't have thought this was what he would do.
Yeah.
You know, however many years ago when he was doing like sillier stuff, or not just sillier stuff. Well, I'm not trying to, it just did not seem like being that this would be what his strength was.
Right.
And it's been incredible. And it doesn't have to be with, I assume with the Spider-Man one as well, it's not like it's not end of the world stuff. There's no giant space robots or anything where it's just like, oh, the whole world is going to be destroyed if we don't take care of this. Also, same deal with Marvel. It's like you have that thing with the Avengers, and then it's like 2 minutes later that War of the Realms starts. And it's like, and the War of the Realms is like, there's already ads for the absolute carnage event in War of the Realms.
You don't want to get a break.
And it's just like, who cares? None of this, it all now feels like it doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. So the only things that matter are these books where you're going like, oh, it's not tied into all that nonsense. Yeah. And it's really good. It's like,
are you reading Runaways at all?
No.
So that, yeah, that book, it's not affecting anything else, but it's still, it's just, it's good.
Yeah.
It's just good.
Just make them good. And they don't have to be big events. Like, give us personal stakes. Give us, there's so many, man. And I was going to, have you read any of this Zdarsky Daredevil?
Just the first issue. Okay. I finished the, you said Charles Soule? Soule? Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed some stuff he's written.
It was okay. Yeah, yeah, it was okay. Just briefly about that Death of Daredevil story, not to spoil it, I guess, if you love it, there is a twist element to it though. And the twist element felt very similar to a twist that he'd already done in Death of X. I don't know if you read Death of X. Death of X, I felt like was better, stronger.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that one. Particularly the twist. In fact, it's probably one of very few comics that I immediately reread right after, because it puts everything in a different light. And so that's this Daredevil, that Death of Daredevil. Like, once you know the X factor there, you can see the whole other six issues, five issues, however many it was, in a new light. And so it was cool, but it's also like you kind of just did this.
Yeah.
But then I did read that Man Without Fear, little mini, which was just kind of maybe a little palate cleanser. And then I read the very first issue of Zdarsky's, and I'm like, but I've not got to really get into it. But I did like what I read.
I liked that Man Without Fear, all right. But Zdarsky didn't write that, or did he?
No, he didn't. And it wasn't Soul either. It was somebody else, but I just don't have it.
I can't remember who it was. But I read that before going into the whatever, because I was like, oh, I want to see how they... Well, it was kind of like, I'll go, I want to see how they get from Death of Daredevil. Right.
And I think that's why it existed, to set up, to get him in a place where he didn't have to also deal with those threads and start a new series.
But it kind of makes you just like, I wonder why. I mean, because you could condense basically all of that down into like the first half of the first issue, maybe.
Yeah, you could.
Why make a whole mini series about, like, why waste
dollars?
It's like, well, I guess.
If people are buying them, yeah.
I mean, but it's also like, how much money did you spend to make it?
Yeah.
And publish it and print it and ship it? And like, what if you just save that money? And then like make the first issue of Daredevil like double-sized or something and then go from there?
Do a big annual or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Comics, man.
Yeah.
Comics. Good stuff.
In my reading through X-Men, yes, sir, there was a lot of not good X-Men, but... If anyone slept on X-Men Red, Tom Taylor's X-Men Red, it was amazing. I've got no end to great thoughts and good stuff to say about that.
Well, tell me some of your good thoughts on that then. I want to hear about an X-Men comic I don't need to delete from my brain.
Yeah, don't delete X-Men Red.
Now, I was into X-Men Red for nothing other than the fact that Mahmoud Azrar was the artist on it, or the primary artist on it.
I love the characters and the way they interact and the way it makes you care. I love the approach of just empathy and protection and all these kind of these things.
I just remembered. I'm sorry. I just remembered. Did we talk about anything with that? I think I already complained about this before, but in that new Uncanny, when that started, the one that just got canceled. Or just ended with that Rosenberg one.
I remember you talking about the first issue.
Yes. Okay. We already talked about it.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode.
So anyway, I love the series. I love like you cared about the characters. I love the way they dealt with the threat. I feel like it was really unique. I don't really want to spoil the ending, but, and then the way that then makes you think about past stuff like Grant. So the villain is Cassandra Nova. And so I'm thinking about, Grant Morrison's run on X-Men, and I'm thinking, if you've not read Grant Morrison's run on X-Men, his last arc is a big jump into the future, how many hundred years in the future. And it's almost like this X-Men Red story helps you see how the Cassandra Nova character got from where she was at the beginning of Grant Morrison's to where you see her in Here Comes Tomorrow. Is that the name of the last? It's like, cause she is a very different kind of character. And this almost bridges the gap when he didn't have to do that, but it's really cool that he did. And the way that he did it. I also love, there's a moment, where we see the Avengers come and help the X-Men and stand up for the X-Men and fight alongside them, like as allies. It makes you think, like, where have you guys been in the last 60 years of publishing where these guys have been persecuted and hated and killed? Like, I'm glad you're here. also, what took you so long? But it was cool to see the Avengers step up and be like, no, we're not going to let you kill all the mutants.
Yeah. Well, and that goes, I mean, that does go, I mean, they did that Uncanny Avengers book. They tried doing some of that
stuff.
That's true. Yeah. And there was some really interesting.
Some of that was well executed.
There was some great execution in that. There was also some stuff that people were like, whoa. Like, and we don't have time to get into all of it. But it's like, I do think that Uncanny Avengers book, both, I think there was two, maybe three volumes of that. I feel like for the most part, I enjoyed, for the most part.
Yeah.
I think I pretty much enjoyed all of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
There's some missteps in there, and there's definitely some stuff where it's like, I don't know.
Some of it's because they're having to tie into big event stuff. That's usually what.
Well, and then there's some stuff. I mean, that goes back into the thing where, like, I saw somebody talking about this on Twitter, where it's like you go from that issue, I think it was like issue 5 of the first volume of Uncanny Avengers, where it was like Havoc is stepping up and he gives that speech about like, I don't want to use the M word anymore. Like, I'm just, you know, call me Alex or whatever. And then, you know, you've also got. Anyway, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is like, I get where some people's stuff was coming from. But, you know, take about that stance of like going, this is how mutants are going forward. Or, you know, he's like trying to be a spokesman for like public face mutants. Go from that. To then what's going on in the way that mutants are looking, not just not the way the world is looking at them, but the way that mutants are looking at themselves in House of X and Powers of X. And it's like, this is a huge shift.
Definitely. But, well, okay. So I was thinking, speaking of the M word, reading House of X, I had that thought. Do you think they're moving away from using the M word, and we're going to start seeing them more referred to as Krakoans, or however you pronounce that. You don't think so?
I just remembered you have not read issue 5 of House of X, yet, and that's got a huge, huge moment for like mutants as really. Not allowing themselves to be marginalized and not wanting to be, not trying to fit in.
Because it almost seems like them embracing that Krakoan as an identity, just because mutant sounds so derogatory, and then kind of re-step. But
no, there's a great, there's a really great
sequence
in there, which, oh boy.
Yeah, no, I'll probably read it later this weekend, so that's exciting. There's one other X-Men book I would say, if someone somehow missed it, Kelly Thompson's Gambit and Rogue, and then became Mrs. and Mrs. X. That was a really good
Mr.
comic.
And Mrs. X.
What'd I say?
Mrs. and Mrs.
I mean Mr. and Mrs. X. And
that's just a different book. It's like,
that's there are a lot of comics out there.
That's a different book. That's a different X-Men book that hasn't come out yet. But I'm here for it. Whoever that's going to be, I'm down. I'm here for it.
That book was really good. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't big world-ending stakes, but you cared about the characters, and their interactions were so good and genuine, and the art was good. And
I think that's like where the good stuff is actually able to happen in superhero comics now, is the stuff where it's like, it's the little books that like fly under the radar and then then people take notice of them once enough has come out where they're like, oh wow, this is actually good. This isn't like this other garbage.
I've heard people praise X-Men Red. I don't see a whole lot of people talking about Kelly Thompson's X-Men.
It's like, it's been good. Vision.
Yeah.
Immortal Hulk. You know, like books like this where it's like they're, no one really cares about them at first until then people start reading them and are like, have you read this?
You're not reading this?
Which, and I'm still, man, every issue almost of Immortal Hulk manages to find a way to make you just go, what? Like,
he shook his head several times.
Yeah, I did. What?
He did a take.
Yeah, I did like a either with something just so insane happens that you're like, I can't believe this is happening in a comic book about the Hulk, you know, like, or it's like there's like a character interaction or like a twist on some character that you've known for, you know, years and years, or like all these interesting little nuances and layers. And it's like, why isn't everything like this?
Yeah.
Al Ewing is
killing it.
Just absolutely killing it. I can't, like, as much as I love the character of the Hulk. And that's the thing, is I love the character of the Hulk. And this book, like, The Hulk
feel vindicated
is,
for the, loving the Hulk.
Well, yeah, but it's like, but the Hulk in this book is like no version of the Hulk you've ever seen right. before.
Yeah, I also love the Hulk. I would be hard pressed to point to really good Hulk stories to direct people to that aren't Avengers stories or they aren't he's playing, but that's just a straight up good Hulk. It's tough. Like, I've read a lot of Hulk comics, but it's hard to think of like an iconic
I can think of some things, but it's like, sometimes it's like, well, you really need to have read this for this to really pay off. It's like, even though
Greg Pak's run.
Yeah.
But I have trouble thinking of any other.
But it feels like, you know, if you read Planet Hulk, there is sort of, it feels like there is like a little bit of, I mean, you can read it, but it's like just on its own. And I think it works mostly, but there is a lot of stuff. Well, I guess it's more, you're sort of like rewarded for.
No, and the Illuminati stuff.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And like.
And it does end up tying into big stuff.
And then, of course, you got to know where it goes from there. Like, because Planet Hulk, the way Planet Hulk ends is like, you know, sort of directly into World War Hulk.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, do I. And like, World War Hulk was like not quite as strong because it's like, well, you know.
It was more the big smash him up.
Yeah. Action. But it's, this is just like, well, and also, I'm like, every issue, I'm like, I could not guess in a million years where they're going with this.
Yeah. You know, which is fun. That's what you want.
Super fun. Yeah. And it's like, okay, more comics like this, less War of the Realms tie-ins. Even though the ones that were written by the McElroys, I had a good time.
Did you read those?
With those. I think I didn't read the last maybe two issues, but what I read
the first issue. So I've still got, I think it's three issues.
And there's a bajillion comics come out every month.
So many comics.
and there's so many video games and movies and TV shows. There's so much stuff just begging for our attention. There's so many streaming services. And speaking of, boy, am I excited about Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But that's not talking about comics.
Right.
I also just wanted to really quickly mention, I'm still keeping up with everything Bendis is doing. I'm behind, but I'm trying to keep up with everything Bendis is doing with Superman at DC, and I'm still enjoying it, even when there are parts where I'm going like, why is he doing this? Yeah. Where are you going with this? I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt to like see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious how this Event Leviathan is going to play out.
Oh man, I wasn't even thinking about that.
We've only got two more issues left of it, and we're still not any closer to knowing who they are.
Yeah. Well, I guess supposedly in issue 5 we're going to find out for sure.
Is that what they've said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that's good.
Supposedly I saw online people were saying from issue 4 there's like some people, or I saw like at least one article that was saying like from what happens in issue 4 and then what happens in.
Have you read issue 4?
Yes.
Okay. So issue 4 ends with, you see, there's this other team of detectives.
Yeah.
And so I heard that the next issue is going to be basically the events we've already seen, but through their eyes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then maybe not a big reveal to the last issue, but either way.
Well, so I saw this article that was saying we figured out who Leviathan is.
Oh, they figured it out.
Well, they're saying they don't know. They can't know, but they're like, we figured it out based on not just this, but there's like clues in other Bendis books.
Oh, and that makes sense.
Which but they don't know.
Yeah.
But they were saying like, it was I had like a real just sitting there for several minutes with my phone, like just staring at it going, do I want to scroll to see what their theory is?
Yeah.
Or do I want it to be do I want to be completely surprised?
I want to be surprised.
Whenever the reveal is. And I didn't look at it.
Yeah. There's not a lot of comics I read the day they come out, but that one I've been trying to read the day it comes out. Cause I don't want to be surprised. I don't want it spoiled. Yeah. Or I do want to be surprised. I do not want it spoiled by something on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like we get so few of those, like, moments that are actually in comic where it's like the moment is like a big moment, a big reveal, a big surprise, where it actually is a big surprise and hasn't been spoiled 2 days earlier before the comic even comes out on Twitter or in USA Today or something like that.
I want to thank Twitter for not spoiling House of X, or maybe I've only read House of X in the last 48 hours and somehow
have stayed mostly. Well, I think that's because people are like, this is so good. We are like,
maybe,
don't
Maybe that's it. Maybe when a story is good and well-crafted, we get excited for other humans to read it.
Yeah.
Whereas when a thing is just shock value, big idea, but there's no story, well, let's
who cares? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
I've not stolen it. Maybe I don't feel like I've taken anything from you because I myself just saw this as a waste of time.
This is also, that's the big thing about this too, is that like, this isn't just, the big moments that happen in this are not big moments. Like they wouldn't necessarily be like a huge moment outside of the greater context of the story. So it's like, you can't really just spoil it when the whole story is what's the big moment.
Or I can't spoil like the emotion that this made me feel when this character taught, when Wolverine and Nightcrawler are talking there on the mother mold in front of the sun, and can't spoil that feeling. You just got to feel it.
Yeah. It's like, if you just post that page up, it'd be like, well, what does this have to do? Where are, what? What? Yeah. It's like, it's not just like, oh, and then, you know, and then Bane breaks Batman's back. You know, it's like, it's not just like the moment is the thing. It's like the whole story is what it's like. It's almost like the whole comic is the exciting moment,
right?
And not just the one page splash page at the end that's just, oh, and then it's, you know, whoever gets shot.
Yeah, if that's all it is, then you can just read the Wikipedia summary.
Yeah.
You don't need the waste.
Which is what I was trying to tell you with like that X-Men, that other X-Men stuff.
I'm a hypocrite.
No, it's just, I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, but I just hit a point where I was like, when also like once I read the, because I was kind of wanting to know some of that stuff, but I was like, I know this is just going to be trash.
Yeah.
And then when I, after I read the first issue of House of X, I was like,
I don't care anymore.
Who cares? None of this matters. You know, and I, but also I trust my feeling was I trust Hickman enough. He's clearly put all this work in, and it's like, he's going to give me, I felt like he's going to give me whatever I need.
If it matters, I'll know what I need to know.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also, he's doing that same thing too. Like we were talking about, like you were talking about with Tom Taylor doing with X-Men Red, where it's like kind of bridging a gap. Like when it's easy for a comic writer to come in, and I think Hickman has even talked about this, I may be pulling some of this from a thing. It's easy to come in and just go like, oh, I'm just going to knock the whole, I'm going to knock the house of cards down.
Yeah.
And then I'll make my thing. And it's like, but it's harder and more rewarding when you've got these characters and all these like decades of stories. It's, it takes more work, but it's like way more rewarding when you come in and go, all right, what can I do with this? Not just, I don't want to just knock the house down. I want to like, I want to improve it and like use, it's got this foundation already. I don't have to tear it down. I can use this to build my, you know, whatever on top of it. And like when you see him putting, dropping in all these little things like, oh, he was paying attention to this. It's like, oh, I remember reading that when I was a kid, and now he's talking about it. So it's like, it does matter. It fulfills something in that comic nerd part of you that goes,
you feel good, you feel rewarded.
Yeah. And you're going like, oh, is that a hint to this? Like, and then it gets the gears turning where you're going like, oh, maybe this has something to do with that. And then you go back and read Inferno, or like, then you go and, you know, like you, he mentions this one thing and you go like, oh, that was good. I remember reading that, but I'm like a little foggy on it. Maybe that's going to be important. Maybe I do want to go back and read this, or maybe I do want to like look more into this character. Like,
is it going to be tough when it goes from being weekly to however often?
Well, I don't know. Well, because it's maybe not, because it's going to be like six books going in all different, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but only one of them that Jonathan Hickman's being the main writer on, right?
Well, I feel like he's supposed to be like kind of steering,
helming the ship,
like kind of steering the directions. Yeah. I mean, supposedly. I mean, and who knows? I'm going to give all of those books a shot, though. Yeah,
they look exciting.
Yeah, I don't think I'll. Okay. But I mean, we could probably talk about this all day, but it would.
We'll have to come back and talk about it more. Maybe when it's done.
Yeah, when it's done.
Read it all, we'll come back and.
Yeah, because you haven't caught up to. You haven't read issues five. But anyway. All right. So, gang, if you've got any X-Men talk, comic talk, anything you want to get to us with, hit the places that we do that at: Twitter at KICTM Podcast, at The Chris Haley, at XA Matt Drain. You can email the show, keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Keepitclosetome.com has got all the show notes and everything, all that stuff, all the cool things that we'll put in there, including Matt's drawing of the House of X, Powers of X timeline.
Yeah, the House of X, Powers of X reading order forms a helix, a DNA helix, which is really, really wild.
And Matt, like, I told Matt, I sort of like explained that to Matt a little bit, and then he drew a thing out for it, and it's amazing. I love it.
All of that stuff, patreon.com/thechrishaley is where, if you want to get the episodes early, get bonus stuff, all that kind of thing. Thank you so much, everybody. Man, this has been a lot of fun. Matt, it's been good to talk to you again about this. Good to get back to talking to you guys about comics and stuff. Let us know anything you want us to talk about, any of that kind of stuff. Thank you so much, everybody.
And we did it. No mess ups.
No mess ups. Yay! We did it. Oh, wait. I just deleted the whole thing. All right. And I'll see you guys next time. We'll talk to you then. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I'll just leave you with this. Trying to get all this out so that there's no mistakes, no mess ups, 100% perfect episode starting
no mess em ups starting now.
Starting now.